1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Dyson Maeda doubles down on his Premier League ambitions as Martin O'Neill opens up on the futures of Arne Engels and Callum McGregor. Derek McInnes targets more signings after securing Cammy Devlin, and the Premier Sports Cup gets underway with big wins for the likes of St Mirren, Partick Thistle and Falkirk. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Roger Hanna.
Yep, Cammy Devlin in at Rangers, Camille Duran in at Celtic, Lewis Smith I see this afternoon in Aberdeen as well. The transfers are beginning to hot up tomorrow. Tomorrow night, Premier Sports Cup vying for your attention with France against Spain in a World Cup semi, England against Argentina, the other semi-final on Wednesday night, and just wait to 2030, a 64-team World Cup. Gabs will be away for 2 months. He'll run out of T-shirts.
Goodness me, don't get me started on that. He'll run out of vests. That's what he'll do, not T-shirts. It's all about the vests this summer, Roger.
The tailored vests.
Yeah.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing Hugh wearing them when the 2 hour shows come back.
Oh dear, I'm not. I think the live stream will be at an all time low for viewing figures at that point. We talked about, or I just mentioned at the top of the show, transfer rumours really seem to be hotting up now. I don't know whether, when it comes to Celtic and Rangers, the fact that they're away on pre-season, it's the fact that Martin O'Neill and Derek McInnes have been speaking to the media over at their respective training camps, but a lot of interest in the incomings, as you mentioned, Cammy Devlin coming in at Rangers over the weekend. Maybe a lot of talk about outgoings as well, some big names involved, the likes of Arne Engels, Dyson Maeda. There's been talk about the future of Callum McGregor at Celtic and at Rangers. John Souter, maybe one of the more surprising ones that looks like he's heading for the exit
well,
door.
Listen, the transfer rumours are hotting up because the season's just round the corner, Andrew. You know, I think the World Cup is sort of insulated us a wee bit from all of that, and all of a sudden you see the Premier Sports Cup starting at the weekend. Celtic come back, they play Sporting Lisbon in the Algarve tomorrow night at the start of the 60th anniversary of the season in which they won the European Cup. And then they're back, the Celtic part on Saturday against Middlesbrough. Rangers will be back at the end of the week. They take on St Etienne next week at Ibrox. So the season is upon us. So the transfer merry-go-round will get faster and faster. And it's not all, as you say, about incomers. You know, there must be doubts in the minds of Celtic fans about the future of Engels, Maeda, McGregor, Hatate. It's already a summer when Martin O'Neill needs to get, I've said in the show before, 10 players in. If he starts losing more mainstays like that, goodness knows how many he'll need to bring in.
And I've learned from previous years in the Premier Sports Cup group stages that you never want to judge a team's full season based on the Premier Sports Cup group stages. So much can change. I think a lot of us have been stung by that before, but if you can go out on the first week, on the first weekend, and get a big victory, it can do a lot. If you've got a new manager, you've got new players in there, the likes of St Mirren with a big victory, Craig McLeish with his first game as a permanent manager, Mark Wilson doing well with Partick Thistle, more success for John McGlynn at Falkirk with some new players in there.
Can you imagine how excited the Mushroom was? 6-0 against Brechin 11, punching the air as the goals rained in there to finally get that Brechin thing out of his mind. But if you're saying it doesn't really matter what happened at the start, then every Morton fan in Greenock and further afield will be writing that down, because when you're losing 1-0 at home to Lowland League and Lithgow Rose, you know it's a difficult start to the season.
And every Dunfermline fan too, losing 3-0 to a team in the division below you is never a great start to the season.
But a brilliant start for East Kilbride up into League One, and you know, in paper it looked a difficult tie. Dunfermline finished last season in the Scottish Cup final, if you remember, just a few weeks ago. So to beat them 3-0 and a clean sheet and 2 assists for a new goalkeeper, a lad called Shea Kelly, brother of Liam and Sean.
0141 951 1025. Maybe you were at one of the Premier Sports Cup group games over the weekend and you want to tell us what you liked, what you maybe didn't like about your team over that weekend and over the game, and what it means for the rest of the transfer window, the rest of the season. 0141 951 1025. And of course we'll look at the big transfer stories. We haven't been able to speak about it because we've not been on air since Friday. It was Saturday morning when that Cammy Devlin news dropped. It moved pretty quickly. Hugh Keevan sat in your chair, Roger Hanna, and he said that by next week he was convinced that Cammy Devlin would be a Rangers player. He only had to wait a few hours. That was announced on Saturday morning. So I want to hear both sides of it. Rangers fans, do you like that signing? Do you not like that signing? What else needs to come from Dennett McInnes? And what about you Hearts fans? That's now Dennett McInnes, Lawrence Shankland and Cammy Devlin all moving from Hearts to Rangers. How are you feeling about that? 0141 951 1025. And Celtic fans, there's been talk maybe about the fact that there's only been one incoming so far, but a lot of discussions about outgoings. Dyson Maeda has been pretty vocal once again about his ambitions to play in the English Premier League. He's been speaking again today about that. Do you hope you can keep a hold of him? Are you resigned to losing him? And Martin O'Neill speaking about some other players, the likes of Arne Engels, of course, a big bid for him at the end of January from Nottingham Forest. And what about Callum McGregor? Because maybe a bit of speculation that that could have been his final season at Celtic. Are you desperate to hold on to him? Do you think that you wouldn't mind if he left this summer? How do you feel about it? 0141 951 1025 on the phones. That Cammy Devlin deal, we talked about it a lot. We talked about him a lot on Friday night with Hugh Keevans because that was the day that he was sort of officially released from Hearts. They had announced that no deal was settled between the two, that he would leave. Rangers moved very quickly to get him in the door by Saturday morning. I think 10 o'clock the announcement came.
Yeah, and listen, it must have been done before because the pictures that were getting done, pushed out at 10 in the morning, clearly had been done the day before. Hearts announced that Cammy had told him he wasn't going to take up their offer that day, and they did move quickly. They moved quicker than I thought because, as things stand, it's a very congested midfield area in that Rangers squad. Raskin, Diamandé, Chukwuanyi, Barron, Dan Neal. Already in the door before Cammy Devlin, you would have to assume that not all of those players are still going to be in the building come the start of the season. There's really interesting words in the papers from Dennett McInnes this morning talking about getting players out the door. As you mentioned, John Souter could be one, interesting to him down south. Danilo will go. And you look at the squad over there, you know, the likes of Ross McCausland surely will, you know, move on again. You wonder about Nedim Bajrami. You know, players like that. I know there's a couple of the young lads have gone out in some of the cooperation loans today, but I think Derek would like quite a few out the door, and that then creates space for even more coming in.
Well, that is a picture of what Roger Hanna thinks. And what do you think? 0141 951 1025. On this week's show, we're giving you the chance to head to the Glasgow Fair Family Race Day at Ayr Racecourse on Monday, the 20th of July. We're giving away summer sizzler tickets for two adults and two children, plus drinks and snacks from the cafe. Each day features seven races and there's live shows, family entertainment. So to enter, give us a call right now, 0141 951 1025. If you make it on air with your point, you'll be in with a chance of winning. It's over 18s only, and you can get all the T's and C's at Clyde1.com. So if you've got Monday the 20th off, or you fancy just trying to take it off in the next few days, you could be heading along to Ayr Racecourse next Monday by phoning in and making your point. We talked about transfers from a Rangers perspective. When it comes to Celtic, Martin O'Neill using the word that he feels there is maybe some resignation when it comes to Dyson Maeda and Arne Engels and their futures. Yeah, would you suspect that they may be away?
He's being honest and open and transparent, Martin O'Neill. He mentioned on the eve of the Scottish Cup final it would probably be Dyson Maeda's last game for Celtic. And I think that will be the way it shakes down. English future, you knew as well, would come up for debate this summer. They knocked back a very, very big offer from Nottingham Forest in January. And you wonder if they've said to the lad, listen, you know, we're not going to take it now, but as and when people come back, we will let you go. Because Arne Engels, you know, is always just using Celtic as a stepping stone to go somewhere else, you know, to go back to a bigger league. So, and there's nothing the matter with that. Celtic pay £11 million. They'll probably more than double their money on the lad. So none of that surprises me. What does surprise me, and maybe it shouldn't, Andrew, is they're not moving quicker with players coming in. You're talking about transfer merry-go-round, speeding up. As for a lot of teams, you know, you see Rangers moving, Aberdeen moving, Dundee United, Dundee moving. All of these teams seem to get a lot of players in. And Celtic have, you know, Alec Oxlade-Chamberlain saying a contract extension. Camille Duran came in at the tail end of last week. I think an offer is going to be made to Kelechi Iheanacho to try and get him back. But Celtic have lost a lot of players. All those loan players went. There's some out-of-contract players went. If you look at the personnel they've taken to Portugal on this trip, they do look a lot of players short of what they'll need to be for the league season kicking off.
The Kelechi Iheanacho one is interesting because you almost feel that that should have been one of the easier deals to get done, certainly just after the season had finished. Celtic had that option to extend his contract by another year. That then expired. Martin O'Neill has come out and said that he'd like to keep him. He'd like to bring back Marcelo Cerracci as well, who I think is out of favour over in Argentina. But strange that maybe those deals have taken a bit of time to get done.
Money, Andrew, money. You've seen it with Celtic in the past. Iheanacho will be asking for Iheanacho-sized wages, and Celtic will hope that they can get to a situation where they can work that wage demand down a wee bit.
Joe is a Celtic fan in Carntyne. Joe, first of all, on Daisy Maeda, he was speaking again today, saying that he has those ambitions of playing in the Premier League. Are you hoping he stays? Are you resigned to the fact that he may go this summer?
I was saying to your producer there, I would hope he would stay for at least another year. Probably resigned to the fact that he won't want to go down to England. Just for the sake of testing himself against better players and everything else. It'd be great if he signed for another season, but I think the likes of the players that's going to be outgoing for Celtic, Negrin, there's a good few. We're going to make a lot of money off it. Why not just go that me and Maeda here, look, and some extra cash after the money we're going to make for an extra year, because he's a great B player for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's one way that Celtic could do business if they are looking at outgoings elsewhere. You talked about Arne Engels, Joe brings up Benjamin Negrin. There are ways to kind of balance the books and fund different things. And if Celtic do get the money in, not that they're short of cash, but they may feel that instead of going out and splashing out on a new signing, trying to get Maeda on a longer term deal and giving him what he wants.
I don't think he wants anything that Celtic have got, Andrew. I think he believes he's run his race for Celtic. It could wait another season. He's contracted to wait for another season, but that takes him to 29, and it probably makes him a little less attractive to the kind of team that he wants to go and join. If he's 28, he can move to the English Premier League in a four-year deal, and teams will happily pay that money to get him. And you could see him going there. You know, he's a lad who, you know, Scotland's Player of the Year 12 months ago off the back of 33 goals. He had a fantastic end to the season. Did he score 9 in the last 7, I think, as Celtic won the double. He's just scored for Japan against Sweden at the World Cup. He's had rave reviews from the TV pundits who know him, like Ange Postecoglou, Roy Keane, all of these guys, all praising his work rate, all praising his qualities. I just think, from all sides, I think there's a sort of agreement that this is Maeda's time to move on.
1 year left in his contract.
Yeah.
Was that, I mean, that always plays into things as well, the fact that if his stock is high, as you say, Celtic, would they rather cash in on him now than lose him for free next summer?
What would you get for Daisy Maeda nowadays? You know, a year to go, could you get £15 million for him? It's an awful thought, you know, knocking back £15 million and then watching him walk away next summer for nothing. So the player wants to go, the manager's resigned to him going, as you say, Andrew. And I think from a club point of view, if they bring that money in, it gives them a really strong hand to go and look for a replacement.
What about incomings, Joe? Is there any concern that there's only one in the door? Are you feeling confident that those numbers will be up soon?
I'd like to see Iheanacho coming back in for a year. I know he's maybe not the best that he used to be, but he's still got talent. You can use him for 60 minutes in a game, no bother. And I think that's what Martin O'Neill knows they can use. It's a big squad now. You've got to use the players appropriately. I'd like to see him coming back.
I think Martin would quite happily use him for 16 minutes, never mind 60. I think Martin views him just as, you know, almost like a super sub. You know, you imagine you're at Motherwell on a Wednesday night and it's 1-1 with 15 minutes to go. He's a great guy to put on, and he's done it, you know, many times last season, late goals.
Yes, I know, that's why I'm saying that. Because if you look at this World Cup, the new, it came alive. See the fact that people are shooting on, trying to have a shot on goal, and it could spill, be a deflection, it could be anything. Scotland just did not try that at the World Cup, and you're seeing it all happening now. The people, players are trying to, England for instance, smash off outside the box, and the keeper spills it, and there's a goal. Scotland just did not try any of that, and I was on the phone.
I need to say to you, Joe, we had callers on this show last Monday night with Andrew and I, demanding Celtic sign the Norway goalkeeper Orje in Ireland. There's not been many calls this Monday night.
As long as he's on his horns.
Joe, on Callum McGregor, it was another one that Martin O'Neill addressed in the past day or so. I think Callum McGregor has changed agent, which is the type of thing that people might look into and say, well, is, you know, is that part of maybe wanting a move away? The one thing that Martin O'Neill said, you know, it would be a big blow to lose him, but sometimes money is a big thing, particularly when you're past 30. Is there any fear that you would lose Callum McGregor in this window?
Don't think there is any fear. It's probably the right moment for him to move on. If he stayed another season, maybe. Where's he going to go for big money? That's what I want to know.
I mean, there's been a bit of talk previously about Saudi. I think, am I right in saying that his new agency is the same agency that Brendan Rodgers is signed to? I don't know whether I'm just coming up with conspiracy theories now, but they certainly...
Come on, Andrew, you can't just be letting that hang out there. Come on.
He's certainly been linked to Saudi in the past, hasn't he?
Yeah, no, he has. Listen, he's close to Brendan. Brendan would delight in taking him to Al Qadzia. I do not doubt for a minute. If we're talking in isolation about Callum McGregor's future, and we say he could be reunited with Brendan Rodgers in Saudi, yeah, you could see that. He's in his 30s. It would be life-changing money for Callum McGregor over there. But you can't really take it in isolation when we're discussing the futures of Dyson Maeda, Arnie Engels, Rio Hitati as well. It would be inconceivable for Celtic to lose all of those players in the one summer. Inconceivable.
Well, thank you to Joe. What about Stephen, who's a Celtic fan in Motherwell, who is catching your eye from a transfer perspective? Is it Dyson Maeda, Callum McGregor, Arne Engels?
I mean, you could say who's not catching your eye from a transfer perspective. I think the problem we've got is there's loads of talk about who's potentially leaving, but there's virtually no talk about who's going to replace any of these guys. Roger said earlier on, we need 10 players. He's probably right, because we need a bit of depth. We need guys to cover folk and that are injured. There's no chat about them. And now we've got, like, as you're saying there, you've got Engels, who's probably going to leave because there was money on the table in January. You've got Maeda, who probably should have left last summer because he wanted to leave and the club didn't allow him to leave because they were so disorganised. He should be allowed to leave right now. And then, as you just said about Callum McGregor, I don't think Callum McGregor actually wants to leave, but as he said kind of at the tail end of the season, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, I can't remember the exact quote, but he said if the club didn't kind of match his ambition, he'd be looking to move on.
Yeah.
And it feels like, even though last year they managed to get it over the line and all that, it feels like the board are too busy again playing bowls, playing golf, away on holiday. I will worry about this a couple of weeks before the season starts. It's like history repeating itself. They're not learning any lessons.
Yep.
And it'll be the same again next season.
And we've a lot of callers, Stephen, window after window, you know, criticising the Celtic board for not spending. And a lot of the time, people criticise them. They should go and spend, you know, X million pounds in this guy and X million pounds in that guy. Actually, the deal so far this season, you're not asking them to do that. You know, Kelechi Iheanacho, yes, his wage demands will be higher than Celtic want to pay, but sometimes, you know, you're not better doing that than having to fork out 10 or 12 million pounds to buy a striker. Sarachi, where are you going to get cover for Kieran Tierney of that quality for a couple of million pounds? You're not. He's been at the club before. You know what he can do. He likes it. They like him. And you need cover for Kieran Tierney, because with the best will in the world, Kieran's not going to play 90 minutes twice a week all season, which is what Celtic need. Another one I would have looked at is Alad Araujo, who I thought was terrific last season. The loan was curtailed early because of injury. He liked it. They liked him. I don't think he's got much chance of getting into that Bournemouth set-up by the looks of things. Go and spend a bit of money and bring him back. These are deals, a bit like the Oxlade-Chamberlain deals. These are the easy deals to do. The difficult deals are further down the window when you're having to find replacements for Maeda and Engels, and you are having to spend a lot of money.
Well, thank you to Stephen. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you want to add some thoughts to that. Maybe you are a Rangers fan or a Hearts fan and you're interested in that Cammy Devlin move. Maybe you're at a Premier Sports Cup group game over the weekend, or maybe you're going to one tomorrow night and you want to chat about what you've seen or what you're going to expect. 0141 951 1025. But we'll play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Your chance to take on Roger Hanna at Beat the Pundit. Ring 0141 951 1025 during the next break, and you could be up next.
taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're taking your calls all the way through until 7 o'clock. So whatever is on your mind, you can get in touch. Maybe you want to talk about Cammy Devlin signing for Rangers after leaving Hearts. Maybe you want to talk about the futures of some Celtic players. What about Daizen Maeda, who has said today again that he has ambitions of playing in the English Premier League? Martin O'Neill has been talking about the likes of Arne Engels and Callum McGregor and what the future holds for them. We'll also look back at some of the Premier Sports Cup group games over the weekend. We'll look ahead to some of the games tomorrow. The likes of St Mirren, Partick Thistle, Falkirk winning big. Kilmarnock are back in action tomorrow too. So maybe you've got any thoughts, 0141 951 1025. But it's time to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Did you hear Friday night's show? A sensational outing from the caller.
I thought he was going to go and get 10 out of 10.
He was close. He got a 7 in the end. I think he got 6 in the allotted 30 seconds, which is almost unheard of for a caller. Ended up going for the 10, got a 7. As far as we can see, I think there was maybe only one other caller that's got a 7 before. Something along those lines. Someone on Twitter, I'm sure, may correct us. But I think Alan messaged us last Friday to say that he also got a 7 against Hugh on another day. It was a 7-6 win over Hugh, I think, last January, and it was a 7-5 win over Hugh. So that's pretty unlucky for Hugh. It's two decent scores from him. But it's going to be Chris and Ayr up against Roger. Chris, how do you fancy your chances?
-1. I fancy my chances against Roger. I played against Jim Duffy before me. He beat me, I think it was 5-3 or 5-2. He beat me, Jim Duffy.
So have you spent that time practising, Chris?
You know, you don't.
That's the way to look at
it. You can only do so much research. Right, we will put something in the ear of Roger Hanna so he cannot tear us. And for you, Chris, it's going to be 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass to help yourself out.
2 seconds. There's a video playing in the background here. 2 seconds.
Right, no worries. I'll let you get sorted. I can already tell that Roger's going to be wondering what on earth is going on and why the time hasn't started yet. Right, there we go. Good to go. 30 seconds on the clock for you, Chris. Let's go. Before Celtic, Ross Grant last worked for which Scottish side?
Pass.
Who was Rangers' top goal scorer last season?
Oh, it's me.
Name the only Scottish side that Tony Watt has had more than one spell with.
Sunday night.
How many Scottish Premiership teams will compete in Europe this season?
5.
Who is the new captain of Kilmarnock?
Keelty.
Name any Scottish player who won the English Premier League more than once.
Dan Fletcher.
Okay, we will bring Roger Hanna back in. Can you hear us, Roger?
Yes.
I can see you looking at the clock up there. Were you thinking that was a suspiciously long 30 seconds?
No, not at all. Right. The Bamboos, that's 2 weeks running. Greatest Hits Radio, and it's been shoddy both Monday nights.
Exactly the same.
Different song.
Different
same
song.
Singer.
Interesting. It was Chris had a video playing in the background, so we had to go away and pause it. So that's why we had a bit of a delay in starting things. But 30 seconds for Roger Hanna. Let's go. Before Celtic, Ross Grant last worked with which Scottish side?
Hearts.
Who was Rangers' top goal scorer last season?
Shinmiti.
Name the only Scottish side that Tony Watt has had more than one spell with.
St Johnson.
How many Scottish Premiership teams will compete in Europe this season?
5.
Who is the new Kilmarnock captain?
Greg Kilty.
Name any Scottish player who's won the English Premier League more than once.
Fletcher.
In what year did Steven Gerrard take over as Rangers manager?
2017.
Okay, how do you think that went, Chris?
Oh, I think he's maybe just put me on the last one, you know that?
I'm not sure the last one's right.
I think it's tight. We'll go through them. Before Celtic, Ross Grant last worked for which Scottish side? Chris passed on it. Roger got it. It is, of course, Hearts. He moved from...
I said Hearts.
Did you not pass, Chris?
No, I said Hearts.
Oh, right. Well, that is... Chris goes one up then, because Roger... Okay, producer's telling me you definitely said Hearts. That's my bad.
You've got to watch him, Chris.
There we go. I'm glad someone was listening. It's definitely one up to Chris, because Roger starts on -1. Who was Rangers' top goal scorer last season? You both said Yusuf Chermiti. You both got it correct. So Chris is one up still. Name the only Scottish side that Tony Watt's had more than one spell with. Motherwell.
Is that right?
He was there permanently and then had a loan spell in the 2024-25
season. I mean, he's got more clubs than Rory McIlroy.
He's played for everyone. So you didn't get it, and this time Chris definitely didn't get it.
Okay.
I know that one for certain. So he remains one up. How many Scottish Premiership teams will compete in Europe this season? You both said five. You both got it. So Chris stays one ahead. Who is the new captain of Kilmarnock? Announced today that it's going to be Greg Kilty. Roger Hannah said it. Chris also said it.
Wow.
So he stays one up. Name any Scottish player who's won the English Premier League more than once. You could have had Andy Robertson. You could have had Brian McClare.
I forgot.
But you could have had Darren Fletcher, who you both said. So Chris remains one ahead. That was the end of the road for Chris. You got one more question in. In what year did Steven Gerrard take over as Rangers manager? You went for 2017, and the answer is 2018. Chris gets the win by one.
Thank you very much.
Well done.
What was the score? That must have been quite high.
That was 5-4 to Chris. So that minus one cost you.
That's going to be, I think this will have to go during the season.
Well, Chris, did you have any help there, Chris?
I didn't know. The winds are in the bath, as we can hear.
All right. Chris, who's your team?
Air United.
How are you feeling about Air United this season?
I think everybody's been about the club's kind of positive this year. Gary Naismith coming in. I went to Eastern on Saturday there and they looked all right in patches, but I will see. Tomorrow will be a good test away to Falkirk.
Yeah, certainly will be a big test for Gary Naismith and his squad to see how they're shaping up ahead of the new season.
I was quite taken by Ross Taylor getting two goals at the weekend. It was really good for Gary Naismith at Steny last season. Was shortlisted for that League One Player of the Year thing. So I just wondered how people will handle the step up. And you can say the same about the likes of Kieran Shanks and players like that who have come in, who Gary knows from League One. You always just wonder how they'll adapt, because it is a leap up into the Championship. But it seemed to be an encouraging start. But as with a lot of teams, I think Chris will tell you, I think Ayr could do four or five more, do you think, yet, Chris?
At least three,
aye.
What are the ambitions this season, Chris?
I think it's a start again, a two-year build. I think if we can finish fourth, brilliant, into the playoffs, but I think realistically mid-table would be all right, fifth and above, I think we're doing all right. But I think it's a kind of 2-3 year plan.
I think your top three in no particular order will be, and I hope he's not listening, Thistle, Livy and Dunfermline, probably the top three. And then I think that fourth place, that last playoff place, I think that's up for grabs still. I know what you mean about the two-year plan and consolidate this year, but I think everyone will be chasing that fourth place.
It's always so tight. Yeah, it's always so tight. You can never really tell. I mean, look at last season. How many people had Ross County winning the league at the start of the season and then they ended up going down?
And how many people had their both relegated and they finished in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. So, as dog eat dog, as Chris says, I don't think there'll be a lot in it. You look at, Raith Rovers will be strong again under Dougie Emery. You don't know what you're going to get from Inverness coming up. Queen's Park did better than I thought they would last season, and the most signings again in the summer. Dreadful start in the League Cup for Morton at the weekend. And what will Steny do under Big Marv? We just don't know.
Yeah, they got a win in their opening game.
Got a win
against
Forfar. Yeah, they did. So he's still got the mushroom to take on, the big head-to-head in that group. He's still got to play Livy as well in that group. So good luck to him.
Well, thank you to Chris. Well done
well
on
done,
Beat
Chris.
The Pundit. Of course, we'll be playing again tomorrow, same time, so make sure to listen out for that. Probably leads us quite nicely into looking at some of the Premier Sports Cup group results from Saturday. As we say, there's probably only so much you can read into them.
We'll start with
St Mirren, a 4-0 win away against Dumbarton. Samuel Ramos grabbing a couple of goals. I've heard some positive reviews about them, and of course a big thing for Craig McLeish is him trying to really imprint his style on the St Mirren team. He tried it across the interim spell last season, but now he's got his own players in and he's had that time in pre-season to really try and change things.
The youngest player in St Mirren's history, I think he's Michele De Barros, 15 years of age.
What's even more impressive, central defender as well, isn't he? A left-sided central defender. You normally think of young players, you don't think of them as centre-backs making their debut at that age.
Absolutely. Listen, Chris said his kids are in the bath. I'm quite sure Mr. and Mrs. De Barros have still got him in the bath this time of night. So it's great that Craig is willing to put them in. I think Carrick McAvoy got a debut in there as well.
And signed a new deal today too.
Yeah, so there are going to be opportunities in this group stage for Craig McLeish to do that. and fair play to him for having the courage of his convictions and doing it.
Let's speak to David, who is a Rangers fan in Motherwell. David, were you pleased with the signing of Cammy Devlin?
Yes, I was. I'm very pleased. I was very surprised that Hearts let his contract run down. And I thought it's a wonderful signing. He had a marvellous season last season. I'm also interested in, as I said to your boy on the line there, I don't know the situation with that Claudio Braga. He's a wonderful player also. I would love to take him to Ibrox.
I'd hate to think what the Hearts fans would be like if Claudio Braga also made the move to Ibrox. I think that one seems quite unlikely.
I think the difference with Claudio Braga is Hearts are in control of that situation. Mm-hmm. You know, he's contracted, I think, for another 3 years. There's been a bit of interest from France and from down south, and I mean, they're talking upwards of £8 million. So, you know, Rangers would have to spend big to get the lad in. He is Football of the Year for both the Football Writers Association and PFA Scotland. He had a wonderful first season, worked very well with Lauren Shankland, but Rangers to me look as if they're quite well stocked in that area with Shankland, Chermiti, Nadeiri, Miovski. They look as if they've got a few there. I think it's sort of still at the back, particularly if Suter goes, and maybe in the wide areas they'll look again now, Rangers.
David, saying he's surprised Hearts let Cammy Devlin run his contract down. They did put an offer on the table for him. They set a deadline for that, but I think one thing they would have been looking to avoid is maybe giving too much power to the player over it. We saw what happened last summer, Lauren Shankland ended up signing a deal that let him leave for free this summer.
Yeah, I mean, what do you do? You know, Shankland and Devlin have done that this summer. Rangers have suffered from that in the past. Go back to, you know, Morelos and Kent going away for nothing, you know, a few years ago under the Steven Gerrard times. So sometimes, you know, the player has a great deal of power. You can blame Fraser Wishart for that, Andrew. And sometimes if the player's determined that he's going to run his contract down and go for nothing, then that's what happens.
David, I saw in that friendly against Kaiser Chiefs over the weekend that in the first half it was Dan Neal that was wearing the captain's armband. In the second half it was Lauren Shankland. Have you got a preference of who's the captain going forward? Is that a sign to you that it could be one of those two? Is it likely to be one of the newer players?
Well, if it was me, I would put Shankland with the armband. Nothing against Dan Neal. He's a good player. I'm a very Scottish orientated person, and I would think Lauren Shankland should be the captain of Glasgow Rangers, and I think that would go well for us next season. But what to pull our socks up, because Celtic have taken us, and to be fair to Hearts, they had a wonderful season and unfortunately tripped up at the last minute. But Celtic are there, and they've been there for a long time, and we've got to now try and topple them.
Yeah, I mean, Danny Rule had said in the lead up to the summer that he felt Rangers needed a lot more captains, leaders in the squad. It looks as if, despite the fact that he's left, that Rangers have still targeted that. The fact that two of the new signings were wearing the captain's armband in that game, is that a sign to you that they are strong contenders to take it?
Danny Rule always got upset at the accusation that Rangers' character and their mentality was the real stumbling block. But their character and mentality was the real stumbling block, Andrew. And that's something I think the club knew they had to address. And I think it's something that Derek is addressing. Shanklin was a captain of Hearts, led Hearts to within 3 minutes of the title. Devlin, I think, has had the armband on at Hearts from time to time. Dan Neal had the armband on at the weekend. Even the likes of Ross McCrory is coming back, a far more experienced player, a far more rounded player, and a player who understands the demands and the sort of character mentality you need at Rangers. So they are addressing, I think, what was a gaping need at the club. Who gets the armband? I always wondered if there would be one sort of marquee signing, maybe a centre half, who you would just know was going to be the captain. You know, I still wonder if some of these guys go, particularly if Raskin was to go for a lot of money and they had money to bring a name in, you know, to bring somebody who was obviously captain material in, Andrew. I wonder if that's still to happen.
So it looks like a left-sided centre-back is another big area that Rangers are going to target. John Suter looks as if he's going to be away. So do you think that could be a a captain-shaped hole that Rangers have in their team, potentially?
I don't know. It depends what Derek thinks of Manny Fernandez. Is he nailed in as a left-sided centre-half? It depends where Derek's going to play Ben Godfrey. He's versatile. He's played right-back. He's played holding midfield role. Is he the right-sided centre-back? Or, you know, is there somebody else to come in? How many of these central midfielders go? Does Raskin go? Does Barron go? Does someone else go? Is there yet another player to be added in there? We don't know who's still to come in. But they have been active and they have tried to sort out this problem with character and mentality.
Thank you to David. 0141 951 1025. Final chance to get your calls in while I tell you this.
Clyde One.
On Friday, we paid out a life-changing £750,000 to Pat. She said when she got the call that things like this never happened to her. And you could be the one saying that next, because we're going even bigger this weekend. You could score a sensational £777,000. It's a new chance for you to win, so get in the draw now for your chance to bring home the money. To enter, text YES to 61025, text or 250, plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find all the rules for this network competition there, or you can call 03434 269 340. All calls are charged at the standard network rate. It's over 18s only, and lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday, and someone will win the lot. Just answer your phone and £777,000 is yours, paid straight into your bank account after the call. So for your chance to win on Friday, text YES to 61025 now.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. So if you've got any final points to put to Roger Hannah, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Normally on a Monday when it's the two-hour show, you do the weekend awards and you look back on the goal of the weekend, the top performer. I don't think there would have been too much debate about the goal of the weekend in the Premier Sports Cup. Sam Fisher scoring from the halfway line for Airdrie Onions against Dundee.
Against his old club Dundee, and against his close pal Harry Sharp, who was in goal for Dundee. And I loved the line that he wound him up as they were going off at the end. And then the first thing he did back in the changing room was text him to say, "Get it right, up you."
I also like the fact that he asked for permission from manager John Rankin, because the free kick was taken just where the dugouts are, really. And John Rankin actually said after the game that Sam Fisher turned to him and said, Should I go for this? And he looked at his watch, 45 minutes, thought the half was going to be over anyway, told him to go for it. So I don't know, is John Rankin taking an assist for that?
Well, he'd have a cheek note to say go for it. I mean, I remember, you remember his squiggler? You too young to remember the squiggler?
I remember that, yeah.
Against Arthur Borrett at Easter Road many years ago. So a man who knows about goals from long range.
He's already declared it as goal of the season, John Rankin. Yeah. That's an early shout.
Yeah, I have to say, my own son was watching it on the Premier Sports Player at the weekend, and he said, "That's a goal of the season already."
Ian is a St Mirren fan in Barrhead. Ian, what are you thinking tonight?
Just a couple of the new rules that have come in. I know one of them came in during the World Cup, where if a physio comes on, the player has to go off the pitch for 1 minute. And that happened to a Dumbarton player. He had to go off, and the referee also made the physio and the player walk off the field, as it was a sort of facial injury. But once he was treated, the ref just indicated with his watch that he wasn't coming back on until the full minute was up, because there was quite a few Dumbarton players shouting to the referee to let him back on. We just kept pointing to his watch and saying, "No, I'll tell you when they come back on." So that might stop a bit of time wasting.
Yeah, I suppose that's probably part of why it's been brought in, is to stop players from maybe feigning any type of injury and just getting up and getting on with it. Because if you know that if the physio comes on and you're having to stay off for a full minute, then it can be seen as a bit of a punishment.
Yeah, and listen, some of the new rules that have come in the last year or two, I'm all for. I'm not so sure I'm all for this.
No.
You imagine 5 minutes to go in the Old Firm game and a referee decides that a player has to stay off for a minute in contentious circumstances and won't let him back on, and there's a goal scored.
And the player's been off the field for 1 minute and 3 seconds at that point, and the phone lines here are going mad.
I'm not sure there's anything really to be gained with this new rule, is what I'm trying to say, Andrew.
What did you make of St Mirren's performance, Ian? Were you happy with what you saw?
It was difficult to tell. I liked Ramos. His first goal was very good. He didn't lash the ball into the net. He just guided it by the keeper, which was a kind of quality but Dumbarton weren't in a great shake, so I wouldn't take a great deal from it. But 4-0's 4-0. But the other, if I could just say quickly, the other rule change was St Mirren subbing the fullback, and when he went to go off again, the referee turned him around and made him go off the other touchline because it was closer, which would stop teams in the last minute sending the player away to the furthest corner.
I think that one's been in place for a while, that one. It's maybe not enforced all the time.
In last season, yeah. That's the thing. It wasn't really enforced rigidly last season. Maybe it should have been. You can see the point of that one. Maybe, you know, it needs to be enforced more rigidly.
Just on the style of play, Ian, is there a clear difference now? I know Craig McLeish had a bit of time to work on it in his interim spell. With him bringing in new players, having the pre-season to work on it, is it looking quite different?
At the moment it is, but again, it's early days. I know the keeper was talking about playing out from the back, but the keeper very seldom got the ball. The ball was in the Dumbarton half most of the time. But we didn't seem to be playing with an out-and-out striker, playing like a number nine anyway. Mockery, that was in playing more of an attacking midfield player along with Ramos, and then the two wide players, Calvin, who has been in the paper today saying he never really got much of a chance under Robinson. He looked quite tricky, although he maybe overdid it a wee bit and wasn't always the end product, but it's positive. You know, we've got a lot of options, a lot of attacking midfield players. I think we still need at least, you know, one out-and-out striker.
I was interested in those quotes for Craig McLeish in the papers last week that he wants to field a St Mirren team that he enjoys watching.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
The natural takeaway from that is that he maybe didn't think his predecessor's football was quite as pleasing on the eye, shall we say. What I will remind everybody of is Stephen Robinson had St Mirren in the top six for three consecutive seasons, and he won the League Cup. It was the most successful St Mirren team in 40 years. So you maybe want to be careful with tinkering too much.
Yeah, yeah. It just depends on the players he's got. As I say, it's all very well saying we want to play whether it's total football, etc. But against the Premier teams, you won't get as much space and time as you get likes of against Dumbarton.
Well, thank you very much to Ian. We'll have to leave that there because our time is up. There are plenty more Premier Sports Cup group matches tomorrow. The likes of Partick Thistle are in action. Kilmarnock are at home to Raith Rovers. Livingston are
at Auchinleck.
At Auchinleck, yes.
Kilmarnock, Raith Rovers, don't go to Rugby Park.
Don't go to Auchinleck. Rugby Park because they're just finalising that grass pitch, which will be ready for the new season. But thank you to Roger Hanna. Thank you to you for listening in, watching on the live stream, on the phones as well. As I said, back tomorrow night, we'll be building up to more Premier Sports Cup group matches. We'll be seeing if there's been any big transfer news happening. Of course, it's getting ever closer to the start of the league season. Maybe we'll have a bit of talk about the World Cup semi-finals that take place on Tuesday and Wednesday. So back again at 6 o'clock tomorrow, and it is Callum Gallagher who's up next.